Here at Millennial Crisis, we acknowledge the traditional owners and custodians of the land on which this podcast is being recorded today, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We also pay our respects to the elders, both past and present, always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
So, like, I think you should always just think why not rather than why, which is pretty cliche, but I think it's true. Because you can always go to sleep at night thinking, like, you did the best you can with what you've got. Like I said at the very beginning, like, I think you need to do the best you can to improve your life with what it currently is.
Hey, it's Demi, and welcome back to another episode of the Millennial Crisis Podcast. In today's episode, we're really talking about taking action and not worrying about other people's reactions in this. The one thing we can control today is the actions that we take. And I think sometimes we get too caught up in what we think someone else is gonna think or how they're gonna react. And this episode is really all about appreciating where you are, what you're learning and what you're doing, and also taking action, following through with things, reaching out to people even if you think that they're not going to respond. Today's guest is Sarah. She is a marketing and communications manager and a chair board who also volunteers her time in many different places and for many different causes. She is so high energy, her vibes are incredible, and I just know that after listening to this episode, you're just gonna change your perspective and outlook and really wanna take some action in whatever area you've been probably hesitant to. So without any more of me blabbing on, I'm just gonna jump straight into today's episode, episode 77 of the podcast, The Art of Following Up.
Hey, my name is Sarah. I'm 24. I am known for being a marketing and communications professional in the non-profit sector and also as a youth advocate.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm super excited to have a chat with you today because I think listeners are going to feel super empowered to take action in whatever area they want. And I think if we get anything out of this conversation, it's going to be a nice first small step that people can take to, I guess, take control of their career or their life and the direction they want to go. So what I want to dive into is you described yourself then as a youth advocate. What do you mean by youth advocate? What is a youth advocate to you?
A youth advocate to me, that's a great question. I thought it would come a lot more naturally, but I guess I am having to think about it. I think it's just about empowering the next generation to, you know, feel hopeful for their future, because I feel like in mainstream media and the way youth are generally talked about is somewhat negative. So, and that doesn't really matter to me. Like, people can say what they want or think what they want or whatever. But as long as, like, this generation feels empowered to be our future leaders, to make the world a better place, like, that's all advocating for young people means to me, because it's about, like, working now to achieve change for our future. It doesn't matter what anybody else is saying. It's just about us. So as a collective, if we're advocating for change, we should be doing that together. And I think, yeah, that's what it means to me.
I love that. And I think one of the things that I've gotten from the short kind of conversations we've had before the podcast episode is you really do have a really optimistic outlook in life. And I think it's really difficult sometimes to have with the nature of the world as it stands right now, although the doom and gloom that we can consume. And I wonder, have you always had this optimistic attitude of, we have power to create change in the future?
I just don't want to waste my life thinking that somebody else is winning. Like, if I don't have a positive outlook or, you know, hope for myself or, like, feel powerful within what I can achieve, then, like, what's the point? You know what I mean? Like, I'm just wasting time here if I don't think I can achieve or be anything or you know, make the world something different and something better. I mean, It's just a waste of time mindset, in my opinion. Like, and I think a lot of my energy comes from the fact that, like, every day you get, that's the only shot you had at that day. You know what I mean? As cliched it is, but we only really get one shot. Like, I'm not going to sit around and like waste my chance, especially knowing that some people don't have the chance that I do. And I try to compare myself to, you know, those who wish that they were in my shoes rather than me wishing I was in those shoes, because again, like, wasting my chance here.
Anytime I get stuck in this doom and gloom of the world, and it's often because we might have tried something or might have done something and doors might have been slammed, or we're wondering, why is this so hard when this thing is so good, or this thing can really create change? I always go back to, well, what's the alternative? I either sit here and nothing ever happens, or I try again and hope that we can open another door, or we can make this change in a new way. And I think when you get excited by creative thinking when doors are shut, or creative thinking when things feel stagnant and not changing, it can be exciting. It's like, how do I make no's, or how can I make systemic issues fun by thinking outside of the box in my own creativity? And have you experienced a lot of struggles where you've been like, oh shit, am I actually making an impact? Is something changing? Or have you had those moments where you go, I don't know, you know, I don't know what the purpose is right now?
Not really. I mean, like, it's sometimes for me, it's the little wins as well. Like, I know tomorrow, like, I'm not gonna solve human trafficking, or like, you know, fix climate change or whatever. But like, I try to have a mindset of like, if I'm doing the best I can with my day and my opportunity, then that was a win and I am changing things. Like, I don't know why I do this, and no one actually knows that I do this except my partner, but I start my day, if I'm walking somewhere, which I usually am first thing in the morning, like if I'm walking or I'm outside, like if I see rubbish, I'll just go get it. Like, I don't know why. Because for me, it just feels like, and if I pass it, I'm so mad at myself, and then I just go back and get it. Even though I realize there's so much, like there's actually so much rubbish, Melbourne, we are disgusting. But like, I'll cap myself and I'll be like, right, I've done like what I can do today with that. So I feel good, you know, and that's like, you know, the mentality you should have, like whatever you're worried about, like whether it's like the water crisis, for example, like if you took a shorter shower that day, then that's what you did that day to contribute. You know what I mean? Do what you can with your power, because every small step counts in a way. And even though I only picked up like, you know, 4 pieces of rubbish, like that's not there, because sometimes I do pass some that I see the next day and I'm like, oh, like, because I didn't go get that, it's still there. So like, it's that matter of like, you know, you work towards what you can and do what you can, but do what you can, you know, don't just say like, oh, you know, I should have done that, or I can't do that alone, or blah, blah, like do what you can. And then you go to sleep at night feeling content because like you made the most of what you had.
I love that. I love that. That is awesome. And I talk a lot about on the podcast and in Millennial Crisis about this idea of like, when things get overwhelming, you don't need to change the world. You just need to change your world. And that can look like so many different things. When we hear people talking about purpose on podcasts or in TED Talks and all of these inspiring kind of media we consume, we look at it at the highest level. It's like somebody opening up a school, or somebody creating a whole program that's changing the education system, and all of these kinds of things. And purpose for us, like when we're starting out, can literally be taking time to educate somebody in your workplace on how to use this system better, you know, and then that person feeling like somebody cares about them, or somebody's taking time for them. Like, or it can be like, I was at a doctor's appointment the other day and I was just like super overwhelmed, and the lady at the front desk just really like took the time to like come up to me and go, you know what, like if you're feeling uncomfortable today, that's okay. Like, they're valid feelings. That's a valid experience. And I was like, yeah, it is, you know? And she just like, she turned my whole day around just by like taking 2 minutes of my time to go, hey, look, these people are super busy right now and they're not giving you the time of day. If you don't feel comfortable, that's totally valid. Come back another time. I promise things will be better then. And it was just like, to her, it didn't seem like a big thing, but to me, it was a huge thing. And I think that
seeking purpose in small ways every day is a really great thing for us to do, not only for the world, but also for us and our mental health. Like you said, picking up that rubbish helps you have peace of mind in thinking like, I'm not contributing to this problem. I'm actually actively creating change. And who knows, people listening to this now might be thinking the same thing. Like, okay, well, when I go for my walks, I'm going to pick up rubbish. And it's something I do as well. And not because I decided to, because of Little Litter Project, which is who's founded by Candace. And she created this thing where she creates like community pickups. And she inspired me to, like, when I walk, pick up rubbish as I walk by and just put it in the bin. And I think it's really nice when we do and we actually take action, we inspire people, other people, to create change, no matter how small or big that is. What I wanted to really talk about was how you came on the podcast and your tenacity to make sure that you came on, which I think was amazing, because we often don't get – I've only had one other woman pitch herself for – actually, I lie. There was two. So there have been two other women that have pitched themselves for the podcast. And the only other people that kind of pitch themselves are men, and often like businessmen that are getting like a receptionist to pitch them for the podcast. And I'm like, you don't even know what this is about. And you kind of shot me an email and said like, hey, I'd love to. And I said, I was in Europe at the time, or I was prepping for Europe at the time. And my inbox, anyone that knows, during that time, if you emailed me, I was not getting back to anybody. And you followed up, I think, twice after. And I loved that so much, because I did keep saying to you, yes, I'd love you on, or I think we have an opportunity for you to come on, but let me get back to you, let me get back to you. And instead of you waiting for me to get back to you, you saw when I was around, like you saw I was active on LinkedIn or something, you're like, now's my opportunity again. And you followed up. And I think so many people don't follow up. And I want to hear about why you followed up, and also how you built this skill set to want to pitch yourself and show up.
I think it's because I built my whole career by doing that. Like, I was, you know, 22 when COVID happened. And I was like a fresh uni grad, you know, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do with myself. So I was trying to figure it out. And like, how are you supposed to do that when like you're just sitting between four walls in your bedroom, like you just have the internet? And like, I realized after, like, you know, applying for 50 or whatever, how many jobs I did back then, that like, unless I was like speaking to somebody about it, like nothing was going to move forward. And all the roles I got and have to this day only came from like speaking to the people behind the scenes. Like everything that you see me do, whether it's like I'm at a conference or I'm doing a talk or blah, blah, like that is how it happened. I can guarantee it, because you can't just speak to no one and expect to get somewhere. Like when I first got into the industry, I was sort of looking at like a nonprofit organization to work at. And I like really tried to make my name recognized by important people, by like messaging them, you know, showing them my work, working for them pro bono. And I still didn't get it, which was just like unbelievable. It was only by having a shot, because like I was actually genuinely speaking to people. And then from that, I always made sure that like anything that I applied myself for or wanted to be involved with, like there was an actual human that knew my name and we were having a conversation. Otherwise, like I was just going to be one of the other 50 candidates. And people, it's nothing personal. Like people just have lives, you know, like, so you just have to make sure, like, if you do really want something, like you give it your all. And until it's a no, it's sort of a yes. Don't you see how that's like a thing? So I just, yeah, if I'm really passionate about something or something is important to me, like I'll really try and, you know, put myself out to see like where I can really go with it. Like, you know, any job that I had, like, you know, I won't just like, you know, reach out to the boss of that role, or I'll go like CEO, like global, like everyone's details are always available. Like just send them a message, like show them that you really care, because that's all they really want. Someone that's dedicated and really cares about the work. And if you're that person, you will be going the extra mile. You won't just be like the odd application in the pile. I think you really have to show like dedication. And I think that's why I will always tend to do that, because I'm dedicated to what I do. And I believe, like, I'm passion driven as well. So if I want to be involved in something, it's because like I think it's important for me to contribute to that work as well, and like bring my skill set or ideas to the table to help that organization too, not just me. So that's how I guess why this podcast was important, because I would love to speak and engage with the community and to you, and to collaborate on new and interesting ideas to help other people.
So many more people. You said something about like until it's no, it's kind of a yes. And I think a lot of us get caught up in this thought that it's us, like we're being annoying. They're not responding because we're not the right person and all of this stuff. And you said something like, usually it's just because life happens. It's not personal. And it's so true. I say it to our facilitators at our events all the time. Like, you're always going to have awkward conversation. You're always going to have people, like you're going to have awkward silences, you're going to have times where people aren't saying things or they're feeling like they're standoffish about stuff. And I was like, it's never you. It's the situation. You're put into this awkward situation where people are bringing up questions that you may not have ever answered before and have never asked themselves. And then they're also worried about putting themselves out there to answer a question that, you know, people might not agree with or people might laugh at them for. And so it's never about the job you're doing or what you're doing. It's other people's thoughts and other people's insecurities and other people being busy. And in this case for the podcast, I was just busy and overwhelmed with other stuff in my life. And that was the only reason why I hadn't gotten back to you. And I don't think if you hadn't reached out like that second or third time, I would have come back to you, not because of you. I'm so grateful that you have come on the podcast, but because if something happens in a time where you're super busy, you can forget about it very easily because your mind's consumed with other things. And so it's so important for us to actually hear a straight up no, especially if a follow-up message takes a couple of seconds of our time.
I'm also really big on uniqueness. Like I think what you just said before, like you'll always remember that I was one of the first people to do what I did, and like it'll just stick with you. I think if you're unique and you do something different, it's easier for people to remember you, which I think is super important. Like when I was 20, I was applying for a lot of different internships, as you do when you're studying, and I applied for one to go abroad to Norway and work at four different media organizations. So it was a really big internship. I was super passionate about it. But I'd also applied for a couple of others, and my lecturer brought me into his office and he's like, did you know that you applied for like three of my internships? And I'd applied so many at this point, I didn't know which ones he was talking about. And he's like, so you've applied to go to Norway, which is great. You've also applied to work at the Herald Sun and SBS News. So like three really big opportunities. And it was the World Cup year as well. So SBS would have been cool. And he's like, okay, so if you want the Herald Sun or SBS, like you'll go into an interview. There'll be six other students who also get that internship, and you'll probably get one of those if you want them. If you choose Norway, there's a second round of interviews and I'm only sending one student. And if you don't get it, you don't get the other two. So I obviously chose the Norway one because in my mind, like if you're going international, there's nothing bigger than that. Because I know what the Herald Sun is, I know what SBS is. Like I had no idea what Norway was. Like I was nervous I was gonna have to speak Norwegian. It was a huge challenge. And he's like, all right, well come to my office next Tuesday and we'll do the second interview. And I was like, great. And I don't know why I did this, but I went on Monday and I just rocked up to his office and he's like, what are you doing here? I said, the interview was on Tuesday. And I said, I know, but I really think it should be me. I'm super passionate about this opportunity and I'll really use it 100%. And he just started laughing. And I know he'll never forget that. And I never forgot that because it was just so outside the box and different. And I did get it. And I went to Norway and I was the student. So, but I don't know if I went on the Tuesday, if I would have gotten that, right? I think pushing the box and doing something different is how people are like, I don't know if she'll be the best, but like, I really like what she does. You know, I like that she puts herself out there and like shakes it up a little bit because I know that whatever she'll do in that opportunity will be something super impactful because she's already showing it.
I love that. That's so fun. And I think it's so aligned. Like when I hear you speak, it's so aligned with like also like how millennial crisis like grew and like became what it is today. Like I remember when I first created the website and stuff like that, I had spelling mistakes everywhere. And I remember like my dad calling me being like, you need to take this website down. Like it's going to be a detriment to your career. Like people are going to find this associated with your name and all of this kind of stuff. And I was like, I don't think you get it. Like the whole idea of this brand is like things don't have to be perfect for you to do. Do you know what I mean? Like if you care about something and you want something to happen, you don't have to do them perfectly. You don't have to do them the way people expect you to. And you don't have to show up in that way, because I know that if I never got that website up that night that I did and rushed to do it or whatever it was, then I would have never gotten it up. And if I had listened to all of these other roadblocks, you know, you would have never done it. And sometimes those things that you do on impulse, whether it's perfect or not, like I'm sure if you went to that interview on Tuesday, you would have been prepared. You may have done this like super professional kind of like conversation with him, answered all the questions exactly how you should have. You could have done all of the quote unquote right things, but it wouldn't have showcased what you said, that uniqueness, that passion, that thing that's going to differentiate you, because I guarantee those other students that you were up against were just as perfect as you, were just as qualified as you, but you do need something unique to stand out. And I think you mentioned this in your TED talk as well, about writing some adjectives down about how to describe yourself and what makes you unique. And I think it's such a great little exercise for people to do, because you can, knowing what makes you unique or knowing what your kind of quote unquote superpower is something that you can apply or consider whenever you're going after something you really want. And do you want to just explain that to everyone, what you mentioned in that and how you figure out how to pitch yourself or what your unique qualities are?
I teach people to pitch themselves using three words, because I feel like what we were saying before, like people are busy, life happens, and there's just always a lot going on. Like for people to remember you, it's not just about like, you know, this huge long resume or, you know, this, you know, big long biography that you have on yourself that makes you amazing. Like if you're trying to be remembered, how are people going to remember this long, huge bio? Like they're not going to. So you need to make like a unique and succinct way for people to remember you. And that's why we just spoke about like, you know, showing up on the Monday and like doing that. That was to be remembered. But it needs to be something that people can, you know, describe to others. And if someone asks me, you know, oh, like, you know, you met Demi, you had a conversation, like tell me what she's about. Like I need to be able to do that really quickly and succinctly. Otherwise, I probably won't bother. Like, oh, she's doing so much, I don't even know where to start. Then it's like, it's a whole missed thing. But if I can go, right, Demi's this, Demi's that, and she's this. Like, it's quick, it's succinct, and, like, people will remember that as well. So, like, really utilize your words when you're pitching yourself. Don't do this whole spiel of, like, I'm this, and I love what you're doing, and oh, my gosh, like, I've done all this stuff, and I'm super experienced, and we should have a chat, blah, blah. It's like, I'm here to do this, black and white, that's it. You're utilizing your time properly. You really understand what you're about, and you're not about the BS. It doesn't mean you have to like know yourself, because I don't feel like anybody knows themselves, but like you're there for a few key reasons. You're not there for this overarching like, oh, I don't really know why. It's like, you know exactly why you're talking to that person. So say black and white. I'm here for this, I'm here for that, and I'm like this, you know? So do it really quickly and succinctly so that like, again, people can remember that.
Right now, what are the three things that you utilize to describe yourself?
I'm a communicator, so that, you know, I'm really good at like telling stories and communicating things to people, whether that mean marketing or however you interpret it. I'm definitely a communicator, a speaker. I'm an innovator. I'm always doing something new and something different. I love coming up with new ideas. And I'm an advocate because I really like helping people. Not just youth, but like people generally. And I will advocate for you. I'll help you with whatever you're doing. I'll try something new and different to help you achieve your goals. So those are the three words I'm at with right now. But they change, and they change depending on who I talk to or sort of where I want to go next. But I really think it's important to own like your sort of key elements about yourself. Don't oversell it or overdo it. Like just own that key initiatives that you that you want to, you know, pursue.
And you mentioned, I was going to ask you about that. Do you change that in who you're talking to and how it is, or do you just change the way you describe what those things, those words mean? Like, do you, I know, like, over time, like, I think we always change and evolve. So those, it makes sense for the words to change, like, in a few years or something. But let's say right now, if they're your three words, do you change the words to different scenarios, or do you just to change the context in different scenarios?
I would do more the context for now, because the way I look at it is, like, the three words should also be your values. So, like, you know, there comes a point where, like, there's so many things that you want to do. Like, I want to do this. I want to try that. I want to speak to this person. And it gets a bit overwhelming. But if you really own, like, what your values are, align them with these words, because I think it will help you make that decision that you want. Like, it's like getting a new job. Like, you do that role for a little bit and then you think about, like, oh, you know, what should I be doing next? Like, should I try something new? And, like, you might get a bit confused and not know what you should be doing next. Like, how do I grow? Do I go up? Do I go sideways? Should I go back and try that other thing? But it's like, if these are my words right now, the opportunity that I should do next should align with these values and these words, because that's who I am right now. And this is who I want to be. So, like, it's a good way to understand, like, what you should and shouldn't be doing as well with your time. And if they do grow, it's because, like, you are ready to try something different. So, you know, look at the opportunities that also match the words.
I love what you said about when you're making a decision, like, should I go forwards, backwards, or sideways? And I've never, although there are things that I consider and have spoken about in other ways, I think that's a really nice, simple way to put it, because this idea or society's kind of like expectations on us, or the things that we're often sold, is like the only way to go is up or forward. But reality is, like, sometimes in order to move forward, you do need to step sideways or backwards. I used to say all the time, like, I used to work in corporate and then I decided to take a gap year at 25. I remember in that podcast episode, I was like, oh, I need to take 5 steps back in order to take 3 leaps forward. And it really was true. If I had never gone back and done those things, I wouldn't have grown and be where I am today. And I think that's a really nice way to think about making life decisions. Like, does it make sense for me to move forward in this job or in this career, in this space? Or does it make more sense for me to go left or right, or even step backwards here? Like, what is the lifestyle I want, or what is, like, the end goal of this action that I'm going to take, and which direction makes the most sense? I think that's really nice. Do you have any examples in your life of where you've gone backwards or you've stepped laterally instead of stepping forward?
Yeah, I mean, I've been told so many times, like, oh, you're doing so well, and, you know, like, you're always doing something new and you're always trying this new job and, like, you're moving high up the ranks, blah, blah. I feel like everybody is on their own journey of growth. So I'm just doing things that are helping my persona and who I am grow to get the future that I want. So the things that the people that I know are doing, that's, as long as you're growing, you're moving forward. So, like, for example, like, I would love to do, like, a huge Europe trip next year, and that might mean, like, just focusing on travel. But for me, that's not stepping back in my career because I'm taking a break. That's personal growth. That means I'm still growing. So that is, like, why I probably am going to make that decision. But it might look at on paper that, like, you know, I'm, you know, regressing in my career because I took a break or something like that. But I think as long as you're moving forward in your own personal growth, that's a really good way to look at it. Like, I know a lot of people that are, like, married, the house is done, all that sort of stuff, and they have stable jobs. And, like, I'm not married yet. I haven't bought a house yet. But that, for me, that's not growth right now. That was their growth, and they're doing what they need to do to grow their own lives. So you really need to look at it like, Am I growing? And a good way to do that is, like, you know, I journal. That's just my personal thing. Like, it's not for everybody. But I remember when I was younger and I was just working my, like, HOSPO job, I remember looking back, like, I was really unhappy towards the end. At 20, I was like, nah, I'm done with this. Like, it's got to stop. And a year ago in my journal, I don't usually look back. Sometimes I do. And I'd written, like, I'm really unhappy here. I hope I'm not here anymore soon. And it actually was sad for me to see that I was still there. And I was hating it even more. That felt like regression because nothing had changed. But if you're changing, it does not matter whether you're going forwards, backwards, or sideways, because it's still growth because you changed it and you changed it for you at that time. So that's how I try to look at it, because if I look at it like, oh, I want to be a CEO or head of this, blah, blah, like that is just going to be, I'm going to miss the whole thing of life. I'm going to miss it because I'm just always trying to hurry to the next thing. And I still do that. I'm always hurrying to the next thing. Like when Ted was done, I'm like, oh, what am I going to do next? When I got this job, I've been here for 6 months. What am I going to do next? Like that, I'm never stopping. But I think if I feel the growth, I that's okay. I can stop because it's working. You know, I'm in the right place at the right time. And if you feel like it isn't, like if you're sitting somewhere for too long in a relationship, people do this in relationships as well. And that's a really hard one. As if you don't feel like yourself is getting better, you need to change something, anything, and that's growth. And that's easier said than done, because I'm a culprit of that too. Like I don't just pick up and change everything. It's actually much easier to do in a professional sense, because that's the one thing that just affects you if you change it. But everything else can potentially involve other people, and it's a lot harder. But I feel like as long as you're still growing, it doesn't matter which way you go to get there.
Today, a lot of our mental distress or daily mental distress comes from indecision. It's like we can acknowledge that something's not right or something's not happening, and instead of making a decision whether that's the quote-unquote right or wrong decision, we sit in these thoughts in our mind of what it could be if we did one thing and what it could be if we did another thing. And that's that torture that we really give ourselves, and how we end up with a lot of feelings of apathy and not doing anything at all. And I wonder if you put your mind back into that place of, you know, working in that hospitality job and seeing that you'd acknowledge that there's a problem here and not, were those months, were you going around in circles, and how was your mental health in that time? Were you struggling because of this indecision that you were in, this limbo state?
I think I was disappointed. Like I was just disappointed in myself for like not having the courage to change it, because that was something I could change. I mean, we all have problems that like we can't do anything about, and that's okay. But the ones that you can do something about, like you should just do it, because that thing that we were saying before about like you can't ever have yesterday again. Looking back on a few things that I've done, I try to have that mentality now, and it doesn't scare me. Because like the worst thing that can ever happen, well, nothing really that bad can happen. Because if you do it and it doesn't work out, then you probably learnt a lot anyway. And that's still growth too. So I think the way looking at it is just like, as long as you're always learning and growing, it doesn't really matter what mistakes you make. But if you stay and you're stagnant, like what good is going to come out of that? It's predictable. Your life is predictable. And I guess I don't really like predictability. I think I need, like I said, I'm a very innovative mind. So I like always trying something new and different and like going outside of the box. And that's just me. But I just, you know, I don't think repetitiveness is good for anybody. So if you can change something that you feel like, it could be anything. Like it could be literally like you wake up at 7 every day and instead you wake up at 6:30 and go for a walk. And then a month later you realize, you know, you don't have heart problems anymore or something. It can be just like little things that can change the whole game.
I think when we think about like, or we consider making decisions, let's say even in that kind of career aspect, or even if it's in a relationship aspect, sometimes we think these decisions have to be these all or nothing things. For example, like when COVID kind of hit, I had decided, I was like, you know what, I'm going to quit all my other work and I'm going to go all in on Millennial Crisis. And I wouldn't say it was a wrong decision, but it was a decision that wasn't something that I stuck with at the time, because I was like, oh shit, actually, not making money really affects my mental health, you know, and it really like I actually need it to survive and live. And even though I have these savings, it's not right for me right now. So all I had to do was like get a new job. And whenever now I have a client or I have work or I have something where I think, oh my God, like I want to get rid of them, I want to focus on this more, I want to do that more, I always think of two ways of doing this. Like one, is the workplace actually affecting my mental health, and will removing them put me in that same state that I was in that time where I did decide I wanted to go all in or sacrifice something? Or is just changing my attitude and approach to the way I do this business, like do work with them, going to change things? And what can that look like? So for example, is it that I'm actually not liking working with them because I feel disconnected from the team because we work fully remotely? So if I go into their office, is that going to actually change the environment because going to build relationship with some people there that's going to make this work better? Or is it that I do go in office with them and I'm not enjoying that? So if I ask them to work a couple days from home, is that actually going to change my attitude and make me feel better about being in this environment? The decisions that we make don't have to be I stay or I go. The decisions we make can be, what conversations do I need to have or what questions do I need to ask or make in order for me to feel better in this space? Same goes with the relationships. Are my friendships not serving me because I'm not actually trying to make them what I wish that they were giving me? For example, if we're feeling like we're having surface level relationships with people, or even in a relationship, you're feeling like you can't go deep enough or be your fullest self with somebody. Have I tried approaching that conversation and having that difficult conversation with these people? Or instead, am I just going to watch a TikTok video that says, cut off everyone that's not serving me? And I'm just going to decide to ghost this person or completely like shut them off because I'm like, nah, they're not it. And then make that same mistake with the next relationship or the next person I'm friends with and things like that. And again, I think we often look at decision making as this black and white thing when often it's not, you know. Technically, that's kind of sidestepping, right? In these situations that we're in, it's like we're going to step to the side and consider another way I can be in this environment instead of stepping forward or backwards. And ultimately, they're always allowing us to step forward, but just in a different and creative kind of way. I wanted to know from you if there was somebody now that's feeling in kind of a stuck state and they're just super overwhelmed by life, I guess, and are thinking about everything in such a big picture. How did you get yourself to start thinking in that kind of smaller picture, or put one foot in front of the other when you're approaching situations and either pitching yourself or just taking an action in your life?
I think I have been through a lot. Like, life has not been easy personally and professionally, and I don't think it ever will be. I think I'm just cursed a little bit, but it's really been like a hard yard in the background. So when I do put myself out there or try something new and different, it doesn't intimidate me because like it can't be any worse than what I've experienced already. And I feel like if I don't try, then I'll just never know if it could be better. So like, I think you should always just think why not rather than why, which is pretty cliche, but I think it's true, because you can always go to sleep at night thinking like you did the best you can with what you've got. Like I said at the very beginning, like I think you need to do the best you can to improve your life with what it currently is, because it can get bad. And in bad times, like everyone says, like when you're sick and you're just like, oh, I just wish I enjoyed last week when I was well. It's like that, you know. You have to enjoy when it is okay and try to grow that, you know what I mean? Because it can get worse and it does get dark, and then you'll remember like, I'm not going to waste this anymore. Like, I'm really going to try and like live the life that I deserve and that my future deserves. So that's, I guess, the mindset that I have, because even though whatever I've been through is in the past, like I will not let that happen to my future. I'm so determined that my future is going to be exactly what I've worked so hard for, and not just like hard work, like, you know, just like the person I've tried to be. Like, if I'm always trying to make the world a better place, I hope my own life is the best place that it can be. And I can't do that without like giving it my all and trying different things and speaking to as many people as I can. I think we shouldn't be in this mindset where like we're competing with others, or like we shouldn't help other people, because I promise you that just ends up helping you anyway. Like, you know, what, like I said before, earlier to you outside the podcast, like I am a mentor, And sometimes I think people look at mentoring like, oh, you're helping somebody else like become successful. It's like, this person is helping me become successful too. Because I love having a conversation with a different mind, someone who's driven and intelligent and is really trying to better themselves. Like, if you put two of those people together, really great things can come out of that. Someone that sees the world differently to you, who's doing different things, can give you ideas. They don't have to be higher up in the ranks. You know, everybody has a different way of looking at things and has learned something that you probably haven't yet. So I really encourage you to ask for advice from others, whether they be here or here, and just, you know, see what they have to offer, and it can probably help you. And if it doesn't, like, you just met a new person. That's super interesting as well. Who can you probably speak to in the future and, you know, share some part of your journey together. So I think it's really important that, like, you try the best you can with whoever's around you, with whatever role you're in, just like do the best you can that day. And days that you don't do your best, I think that's also fine too. I think it's important to not always feel like you're hustling, which is something I've struggled with over the years. Like, it shouldn't be a grind, especially for young people. Like, you should be able to just enjoy it. Like, I remember when I was younger, like, my mom used to tell me, so, like, I think you should always just think why not rather than why, which is pretty cliche, but I think it's true, because you can always go to sleep at night thinking like you did the best you can with what you've got. Like I said at the very beginning, like, I think you need to do the best you can to improve your life with what it currently is, because it can get bad. And in bad times, like everyone says, like when you're sick and you're just like, oh, I just wish I enjoyed last week when I was well. It's like that, you know. You have to enjoy when it is okay and try to grow that. You know what I mean? Because it can get worse and it does get dark, and then you'll remember, like, I'm not going to waste this anymore. Like, I'm really going to try and, like, live the life that I deserve and that my future deserves. So that's, I guess, the mindset that I have, because even though whatever I've been through is in the past, like, I will not let that happen to my future. I'm so determined that my future is going to be exactly what I've worked so hard for. And not just, like, hard work, like, you know, just like the person I've tried to be. Like, if I'm always trying to make the world a better place, I hope my own life is the best place that it can be. And I can't do that without, like, giving it my all and trying different things and speaking to as many people as I can. I think we shouldn't be in this mindset where, like, we're competing with others, or, like, we shouldn't help other people, because I promise you that just ends up helping you anyway. Like, you know, what, like I said before, earlier to you outside the podcast, like, I am a mentor. And sometimes I think people look at mentoring like, oh, you're helping somebody else like become successful. It's like, this person is helping me become successful too. Because I love having a conversation with a different mind, someone who's driven and intelligent and is really trying to better themselves. Like, if you put two of those people together, really great things can come out of that. Someone that sees the world differently to you, who's doing different things, can give you ideas. They don't have to be higher up in the ranks. You know, everybody has a different way of looking at things and has learned something that you probably haven't yet. So I really encourage you to ask for advice from others, whether they be here or here. And just, you know, see what they have to offer, and it can probably help you. And if it doesn't, like, you just met a new person. That's super interesting as well. Who can you probably speak to in the future and, you know, share some part of your journey together. So I think it's really important that, like, you try the best you can with whoever's around you, with whatever role you're in, just, like, do the best you can that day. And days that you don't do your best, I think that's also fine too. I think it's important to not always feel like you're hustling, which is something I've struggled with over the years. Like, it shouldn't be a grind, especially for young people. Like, you should be able to just enjoy it. Like, I remember when I was younger, like, my mom used to tell me, like, your 20 is the best, you know, and she still says it. And I'm like almost 25 and I'm like, when is this going to happen? But it's because, like, I'm always hustling, because I'm always, you know, working toward the next thing. It's like, if I actually took a step back and enjoyed my 20s, like, you know, it is great. It is truly great. And I think we need to, like, again, like, live in that moment and, like, feel happy with what it is now. And the only way to really do that is to keep growing and knowing that you're, like, consistently moving forward, because you can't enjoy the now if you feel like it's always, like, being the same or getting worse. So yeah, really just keep going at it, because it can be worse than what it is. And if it's not good today, then whatever you're doing is going to be so good for future you.
Sometimes when people can hear, like we said in the beginning, like you've got such an optimistic outlook on things and you're always wanting to do and try. And I think sometimes when we hear people that speak that way, we just assume that everything's just been sunshine and roses for them. And that's how, you know, somebody has this attitude. And at least in the experience I've had, you know, the people that often do have the most optimistic outlooks have been dealt a lot of shit as well, you know, and it really makes you value the days that you can do, right? The days that you should do. And I think that's really important for everybody to remember as well, is that like we can't control life. We can't control the shit that gets thrown at us, but we can control our attitude and our actions. And I think once we really like empower that and embody that, we can really create change in ourselves and enjoy ourselves a lot more. And the second part of that was like you spoke about like the grind and the hustle and all of these things. And I always think like when you do start taking action in your life, it's really easy to get caught up in the hustle, in the grind, and in all of those kinds of things. And it's always important for us to take check and be like, okay, this works for me in the first few months I was doing this, but what's the purpose of it now? You know, how is it adding value now? Am I still evolving now because of doing these things? Or was this just the little step and push I needed to take an action? Because often a lot of the things that we do, like that are part of the learning, are just to take a step forward, any step forward. It doesn't really matter in the beginning, right? And we also have a lot of beginnings in our life. But as soon as we do take that, taking like check of that and saying, okay, is this still serving me now in the way that it was when I first started out? And I think that's what hustle culture and constantly moving stops you from doing often, is taking check. Again, that corporate job that you're in, it's not, you might not be liking it because, you know, you're working overtime and all of that stuff, but that doesn't take away from the opportunity that it gave you in the beginning, the learnings that you had when you were first there. All of that other stuff is still valuable, but now if it's not serving you, that's okay. You can take a step anywhere to kind of change that.
Yeah, I think outweighing like pros and cons in that sense is a really good way to evaluate it. Like I think hustling and working hard is like good to an extent, right? Because as soon as the cons start to get more deep, then you know it's like not good for you. Like I remember when I was in third year, so again, I was 20, 20 was a dark year. I was like, you know, working my job in hospo, which was like 38 to 40 hours a week. And I had like multiple internships going at the same time. And I was a third year student, so I was like doing assignments and blah, blah. Like there would be days where like I wouldn't sleep. I would not sleep for days because my schedule was just so like, it was just clashing because I had too many things on and I was trying to study in the background and like driving to different places because I had like 10 things on my plate. I started bursting into tears and I was like, this is not sustainable. You know, so I knew then that the cons were outweighing and that even though I was working really hard and all these things were really good, it was going to burn me out dry. So I realized like I can work as hard, but like to a level that actually is sustainable, because otherwise these things are going to tumble and they're not going to work out anyway. So like try and when you feel like the pros are benefiting, like I'm working 9 to 9 and I'm working so much right now, but like, you know, I'm making a lot of money and like I'm still sleeping and seeing my friends. That's super good. But when the cons start to outweigh, you're like, right, this is like, I got to change the game again.
It doesn't just have to come into like hustling or doing things. Sometimes even like self-care practices or things that we're doing for ourselves, like can get to a point where they no longer serve us in the same way. Like I used to have like when I started working, after like working really hard and kind of burning myself out at one point, I decided to do a thing where I call them like leisure mornings, where I would like get up a little bit later than I would and just take time for me in the morning. So take an hour to get ready, slowly get myself together and all of that kind of stuff. And then those leisure mornings like really, really became leisurely, and I would take them longer and longer, but I would work later and later for them. And it got to a point where I was like, okay, I know that this was something that was for me and it was nice and it served its purpose of me getting out of this mindset of up and work straight away, you know, taking time for me. But then it got to a point where I was like, hang on, now it's getting, when do I actually start work and when do I not? You know, I still need this structure in my life. So you can reevaluate a lot of things. It doesn't have to be these things that other people say are negative. And I think that's the issue that comes into consumption, where we see someone say something worked for them, so we try it out and then we get frustrated with ourselves that it didn't work for us or it's no longer working for us as well. And it's really important for us to take check. And using what you said, like maybe those three values or those three things that you describe yourself as, and go, okay, are these, does this thing serve into that or play into that? Or again, reevaluating what your goals are, or what you want to achieve, and do these things serve within that as well? Because I think doing is really important, but always taking check on how we're doing when we are doing too much too. All right, we are getting towards the end of the podcast now. So I have three questions that I ask all of my guests at the end of each podcast, I have three questions that I ask all of my guests. So we're going to jump straight into those, and then we're going to cover the challenge that you've set for everybody as well. So the first question I have for you is, what is the first small step you took to get to where you are right now?
I guess never giving up. Demi said earlier, like, if it's not a no, then it's still a yes. And don't give up until it really is that no, or you feel like that door is completely shut, because you never know what can happen and, you know, who can lead you down a certain path. So always just like, yeah, keep persisting.
What is your biggest millennial crisis right now? And I describe a millennial crisis as a privilege problem that consciously or subconsciously affects your mental health or well-being.
Every person in their 20s is like so confused at what they're supposed to be doing. Like, am I supposed to have bought a house? Am I supposed to be doing Europe? Is my career supposed to be exacerbating? Should I be getting married and having kids? I think like that is the millennial question that everyone is toing and froing with. I don't know what the answer is. And I always feel like I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But I feel like just letting everyone enjoy their own journey in peace is what we should be doing, and like not being envious or like questioning what someone else is doing, because there is no right answer to like how to do your 20s. There just is not. And everyone I know that I'm close with is doing it differently, which I think is super interesting, but we all have a similar mindset. So I think it's just about like not worrying about what everyone else is doing and just enjoying your 20s.
Totally agree, for sure. And it is so funny, like your 20s are confusing in that way, because everyone is focusing on different areas of their lives. And we somehow, again, make it about us in thinking like, oh, because they're doing it this way, I'm doing it wrong, you know, when we're all going to get to those aspects of our lives in our own time. And we've hopefully got plenty of time to do it. All right. And the final question I have for you is, what is one thing you are still curious about or would like to explore?
I guess the world. You know, I'm still young. There's still so much to see. Like, I think from my experience, like I've interned and I've studied abroad, and it was just so life-changing, because like seeing a way that like another country does something helps you grow so much. And like self-discovery is super interesting. So I'd love to see more of the world and like continue exploring and not limit myself to what I've always known, and like take on board like other ways of doing things and other cultures, because like it's so great to be immersed in that on a global scale.
It's so important. And when we do get caught up in like the hustle and needing to progress in our careers, or the pressure that we have leaving university, we often forget about that personal discovery thing and the self-discovery stuff, and also feel like the way the community and the country that we live in is the only way people do things, you know? And I think that's one of the real great parts about travel, is being able to see how people actually, the norm isn't the norm, you know, that we think it is. It can be different, and it's often nice to have those those reminders. Do you feel as though you've been able to do enough self-discovery? I know you've like progressed a lot in your career, but do you think you know yourself enough on that personal level, or is that something that, you know, doing all of this kind of career progression and knowing yourself and how to pitch yourself in that sense, have you considered like the other side of things as well?
I don't feel like anyone ever knows themselves, because I feel like every year I'm a different version of me. But that is also why I taught the three words, because I don't really think my core values have ever changed. Like what I believe in, like how I treat people and like my values of life don't seem to ever change. But like my personality and my interests and like, you know, my ideas, like they tend to change, and like, you know, who I am tends to change a lot. So like if you knew me 2 years ago or 3 years ago, like I'm not that different, but I've grown so, so much. But I'll always treat you the same. I'm still equally as this, you know, the same Sarah that you know, because my values will always stick to that, and I will always treat people the way I feel like they should be treated. But like me personally, yeah, my interests are different. Like if you asked me at 13 if I liked Justin Bieber, I was so obsessed with him. If you ask me now, like, you know, not really. So like I think, yeah, that's the way I sort of look at that.
I love that. No, that's awesome. And I love this idea of like the values thing and going back to that, because I think if a lot of us even looked at our younger selves as well, we could pick up things that have been consistent throughout our whole lives, you know, that we value and that are really unique to us. And I think that's a really great approach to take when you're doing something like that. Amazing. All right. Now you have a challenge that you would like to set for everyone to do this week. What challenge do you have?
Yes. So I think the moral of this story has been like speaking to people and learning something new is very, very beneficial. So the challenge I have for everyone is to reach out to someone or to have a conversation with someone they know and just ask them for advice on either yourself or a certain topic, so that you can walk away having learned something different to what you already know. So I think the challenge is, yeah, speaking to people, asking questions, and hoping that you learn just through conversations. I mean, like even in this conversation, like I've learned so much about like a lot of things, you know, just by having that conversation. So everyone else should go out there and do that. And whether you want to make it a podcast, it's up to you, but I think you should go for it.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I'm excited for everyone to do that challenge. And if you do that challenge, please let us know. So either share your experience with us. All of Sarah's social links will be in the show notes as well, so you can let her know how you go, or if you want to share it on socials, you can tag the Millennial Crisis or Sarah as well, so we can see how you go with that challenge and what comes out of it. Because I think there's so much that can come out of a conversation, whether that's now or in a few years. Always something can come out of something like that. Awesome. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been awesome just to get more of an insight into your attitude towards life. And I just want to like thank you so much for one, following up and, you know, being uniquely you and coming forward, because it is so special. And I'm super grateful that you did show up in my inbox and we did get to have this conversation today. And two, your outlook and perspective on life. I think sometimes it's so easy for us to get caught up in the doom and gloom of things, but going back to what you said about, you know, seeing what you can control and how you can make an impact in your life every day and the ripple effect that can have was a really great reminder for me as well. So I'm really appreciative about that.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been great.